please turn to the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1. Zephaniah, chapter 1. Go to the book of Matthew and turn back about 15 or 20 pages and you'll find it. Zephaniah, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 14 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Zephaniah 1, verses 1 through 14. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, in the name of the Chemarims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops. And them that worship, and them that swear by the Lord, and them that swear by Malcham, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor required for him. Hold thy peace at thy presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all of such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap upon the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. Howl, ye inhabitants of Maktish, for all the merchant people are cut down, and all that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and will punish the men that are settled on their lees, that stay in their heart. The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but shall not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. It hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of it. Thank you most of all that your presence is here. Lord, many churches will meet today all over the world, but few of them will have the presence of the Holy Spirit like this one does. Thank you for being here. I pray that you'd fill our preacher with your power. May we listen, change our hearts, change our lives. May we go out with what we have been taught today to reach others for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Today I do a part of my job that I don't really enjoy. This morning I'll remind us of a difficult truth from the Word of God. And that truth is that there is judgment that comes from God upon us. And it's not a popular thing to do. I think weak preachers often try to put Cool Whip on top of cancer to make it sweeter. But you know, the truth of the matter is, if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. Today, I cannot add honey to a hemorrhage and fix it. Today, icing does not sweeten a cake made of scorpions. Bottom line is, there are just sometimes what we need to hear is rough and it's a little tough. And just every once in a while, and more often than America gets it, America needs to be reminded there is a God. You might think, Brother Owens, the evil and the wicked people out there, they're just getting away with murder. Well, they may think they are, but we still have a God, and God sees all. And this old wicked world is not as prosperous, and they're not, they have not escaped the ever-watching eye of the holy God.
Right.
Now, I'll remind you, our God is a loving God, but He is also a God of wrath. Too many Christians today are a little bit like old backslidden Jonah, asleep in the bottom of a boat when in the midst of a threatening storm of destruction. If I'm to be the watchdog for the protection of our people, our church, our ministries, I then must bark loudly sometimes about those things that might bring danger and that would harm us. The passage of Scripture that we read together, I realize, a bit lengthy. There are 14 verses altogether there. But let me give you a little background on this passage of Scripture. It comes from the Old Testament book of Zephaniah. There had been a time of revival for God's people, and the prophet named Zephaniah had watched that revival, but he knew that judgment was on the horizon. And God speaks to him right off the bat in verse number 1. And you see God using Zephaniah. And the Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him about this judgment. God then calls the roll on some punishment, some discipline that will come to these people of the day. Some of the judgment would have been on God's people. Some of the judgment would have been on the people that had chosen to reject God. But God virtually calls the roll on these that will be punished. And so you know, God still punishes sin today. Don't you be deceived. Indeed, our God is a God of love. And indeed, for God so loved the world. And indeed, we as Christians are to love one another. And indeed, are we to love our enemies. But you have to understand something. There is a God that loves, and there is a God that hates. The Bible says, these six things doth the Lord hate. And He lists them in the book of Proverbs. Our God is a God of joy. But at the same time, our God is a God of wrath. And you have to be careful. The modern religion will give you the impression that God's just lovey-dovey all the time. Now, God is love all the time, but tucked inside the character of God is the ability for Him to express wrath and hatred for certain things, and He's still a perfect God. He's still a holy God. As you were reading the Scripture earlier, and as I read the Scripture, I see that the Bible says that God said to this group of people, I will punish. I will punish. And God said, I will utterly consume. I will punish. I will utterly consume. And God has a right. He's the creator of all things. God has a right. If someday God says, that's it, I'm going to punish you now. If God says, I am going to consume you, or I'm going to consume something of yours, God has a right to do so. Now, this sermon today is for our church, but also this sermon is also for our country, our Christianity, and I wish we would stop and realize God is alive and well, and God said we're to live holy, and we're to be different, and we're to be a peculiar people, and God expects that, and God has the right to require us to live right, and God has a right to decide when He is happy with us and when He is not happy with us. And tucked inside this passage of Scripture that we read from Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1 through 14, there is virtually a natural outline of who God spoke to when He said, I will punish, or I will utterly consume. And so, as I read through these 14 verses, I've heard very, very few sermons preached from the book of Zephaniah. But boy, here in chapter 1, the first 14 verses, there's a natural outline where God has made it clear through the prophet Zephaniah, there are some things that you can push me too far on. There are some things that I want you to get taken care of, and you need to get them right. And God said, if you don't, I will punish. He said, if you don't, I will consume. And I want us to look at those things. You'll not have to go from verse to verse. I'll read to you each verse. I'll give you the text of it, and I'll let you see. But I just want us, I've entitled today's sermon, People God Will Consume. people, God will consume. And it's about a behavior of a people. And let's look at it as we study it together. As we talk about people, God will consume. Let me say, first of all, God said He would punish the stumbling blocks. Let me read it to you. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Look back at me here, if you will. Here, God said, I'm going to consume the stumbling blocks, or I'm going to punish them. That's amazing to me. It is a bit amazing to me that God puts at the top of His list of people that He's going to punish those that are stumbling blocks. Stumbling blocks. Why is that? Why would God do that? Well, I'll tell you why. Because it's bad if we cause ourselves to stumble. But it's worse when we take others down with us. Brother Hill, we're going to turn this on. It's bad if you and I stumble, but it is worse when we take somebody else down with us. God said, okay, if you're going to choose to mess up your life, He may discipline you for that. If you choose that on your own and you say, I'm going to mess up my life. All right. Now, there may be discipline in order for you. God may thank you for doing so. But God said, it's really wrong for you to choose to mess up your life and then you to lead somebody else astray and you become a stumbling block to someone else. What are we talking about? Well, hey, right here in our church, you young people, you teenagers that attend our church, it's one thing for you to do wrong with your life, but when you pull down another teenager from our youth department, God said, now that's going to get you in a lot of trouble. God said, I understand, and though He does not approve of you messing up your own life as an individual, but it does not set well with God when you pull somebody else down. Hey, those of you, whether it's a teenager or somebody from the elementary school of Martinsburg Christian Academy, God says, now, you mess up your life, that's one thing. But if you go to pulling down some other Martinsburg Christian Academy student, God said, I'm going to punish you. God said, I have the wherewithal to punish you, and I have the right to punish you. Hey, those of you, and let me tell you something, within our own families, it doesn't do me a lot of good to preach to the people that are not here. So to those of us that are here, let's stop and realize something. Within our families, it's one thing if you decide that you're not going to do right by God. But I'll tell you, when you pull your other family members down, God said, now that bothers me. That bothers me. If a dad says, I don't want to serve God, fine. But don't affect the rest of the family. Don't pull the rest of the family out of the church. If a mama's not going to do right, the mom's not going to serve God. Okay, but mom, hey, you better be very careful influencing your husband to get him out of church and influence your husband to cause him not to want to serve God. Oh, you better watch out. God put some children in your home, and just so you know, those are not your kids. They're on loan from God to you. Had God realized you weren't going to teach them of the Lord, and had God realized you were going to turn your back on the Lord and pull your kids away from God, He might not have given them to you. He did intend for you to teach them to love God. But within our own families, we better be real careful that though we may end up in a spiritual mess, that we not take somebody else down. Your friends, you better be careful. Don't you take some friend down and get them away from God. There are new Christians that come to our church, and you listen to me. Some of you have been around for a little while. You better be careful misinfluencing those new Christians. You see, the Lord said, I'm going to consume. He uses the word consume twice in verse number 3 in reference to those that are a stumbling block. We're not to be a stumbling block, He said. In Romans 14, verse number 13, the Bible says this, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, here God said, He said, let us not therefore judge one another. Here's what God's saying. God said, there are some of you, you have passed judgment on somebody else for their sin. You have passed judgment on them. You've got them under your ever watching eye, and you've got your microscope on them, and maybe somebody messed up and someone has sinned, and you got your eye on them, and you're pointing it out to others, and you're out to get them or hurt them because they sinned. And God said, you know what you need to do? You need to get your eyes off of everybody else and stop judging everybody else's fault and stop and realize you better not be a stumbling block to others. Hey, those of you that have passed judgment on somebody else in our church, somebody that sinned, somebody that did wrong or did not do wrong, but you're just busy and able to pass judgment on them. Let me ask you a question. Who is stumbling because of you? You have your hands full making sure that you're not a stumbling block to somebody else. You're so busy examining somebody else. May I recommend to you what Romans chapter 14, verse number 13 says. Won't you stop judging everybody else? And why don't you just take care of all the people that have stumbled because of you? Stumble because of you. You are not to be a stumbling block. And what you need to do is get your eyes off of everybody else and take care of the fact somebody stumbled because of you. Somebody is less of a Christian because they watched you. And you need to take care of you. Hey, let's all remember that somebody or many somebodies are watching us. Somebody or many somebodies are watching us. Those of you that are seniors at Martinsburg Christian Academy, let me tell you something. There are a lot of young people looking up to you. There's a lot of young people that are looking up to you. Hey, let me remind those of you that are graduates from Martinsburg Christian Academy. There are a whole bunch of kids at Martinsburg Christian Academy that look up to you. They want to see what a graduate's supposed to be like. Ask yourself this. Is my behavior in life a stumbling block to anyone? Is my behavior in life a stumbling block to anyone? You know, we all need to be careful that we're a good example to the others. And the Lord, actually, I was shocked. He comes right out of the gate on this thing where he's talking about judgment. And he says, I will consume. He says it again. I will consume. He says, I will cut them off. Who are you talking about? Is it the murderers and the drunks? He said, no, it's the stumbling blocks. Those that cause others to stumble. But then secondly, God said he would punish the false prophets of the day. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 4, it says, I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place. The names of the Chimerans with the priests. Now here, God said, he's going to, the second people on his list are people that are leaders of perverted religion and perverted truth. He says he's going to cut off the remnant of Baal out of this place. He mentions these priests of a couple of different false religions. These are priests that twisted the truth and misled people. These were the modernists of the day. These were the liberals of the day. And God said, you were experiencing a revival, folks, but now you're getting away and judgment is on the horizon and judgment is going to come because there are stumbling blocks that are causing others to stumble. And then he said, there is a group of false prophets and you're letting them influence you, and those false prophets, they're in trouble with me too. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, it says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Now, what happens? Let me tell you, folks, not everything that claims the name of Jesus is right with Jesus. Not everything that has the word God in it is of God. We've got to be very, very careful that we look for purity in our, I'll use the term religion. We need purity in our doctrine. We need purity in the things of God. We need purity in the church. You say, well, who deems what pure is? God deems what pure is in a pure book. And so God said, you better beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are like wolves. Hear about a little Sunday school teacher in Sunday school one day. He said to the kids, he said, does anybody here know what false doctrine is? False doctrine. Little boy raised his hand. He said, well, I know what, know something about doctrine. He said, false doctrine is when the doctor gives you wrong stuff and you're sick, but it makes you sicker and then you die. That's doctrine. And that's false doctrine. You're sick and you're going, you need to get well, but you go to the doctor and he doesn't give you what's going to make you well. Let me tell you something. That boy was talking about an MD. But what I want you to know is there is such thing as false doctrine. Say, what does that mean, Brother Owens? That means you're sick and you need something to make you well, and you went down to a church or you turned on the television or the radio and somebody gave you something that made you sicker. You got false doctrine. Somebody doctored you the wrong way. Oh, I don't like preaching sermons like this, but this is part of doctrine. Did you know something? When something's broken, it hurts to have the bones set. It's a little painful. Sometimes there's a little pain involved in being fixed up. Hey, if you're cut open when they go to sew you up, some part of that's probably going to hurt. Either the needle that numbs you or whatever. But there's sometimes pain in getting things fixed. But here God tells us, He said, I'm going to punish. There are people out there that are preaching false doctrine, if you will. They are false in their religion. And folks, you and I have to be careful that we don't get yoked up with them. There are preachers that see no salvation. Now listen to me. The New Testament church is to be getting people saved. We're to be keeping people out of hell. Hey, there are preachers that preach no holiness. They preach nothing about salvation. They don't give altar calls. They truly don't have the movement of the Holy Spirit of God in the ministries. And we are to be careful that we don't get yoked up and fellowship with that kind of stuff. Job calls them physicians of no value in Job 13:4. Physicians of no value. We like to think of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Of course, this is the New Testament church, but this is also a hospital. This is a hospital where sick people come. Hey, some that are lost and they have a sin-sick soul, but we give them the Savior and they get born again. Some that are saved, but they're backslidden, and we give them the medicine of the gospel and the things that go along with it to doctor their lives so they can have a better marriage and he can be a better husband and a better wife and be better teenagers and better employees. Hey, when you come to church, you're coming to get doctrine. You're coming to get doctored up. But there are churches everywhere and preachers everywhere that have lost track of what the New Testament church is really all about. And they're twisting the Bible. And they're just trying to build big buildings. And they're trying to get famous. And hey, look, this place is all about helping people and doing it God's way. Job said, there are those out there that are physicians of no value. And let me tell you this, one of the most dangerous of the physicians of no value are those that tamper with His Word. Those that are changing the Word of God. In America, this country was built on the old King James Bible. But now we've decided that we need to rewrite it. We don't need to rewrite the Word of God. We just need to reread it. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 18 and 19, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life." And that's not talking about losing their salvation. It's talking about people that probably are not saved anyway. And so there was a spot for them in the Lamb's book of life, but they're not going to get their name written down because they don't believe the gospel anyhow. Hey, we stand for the old King James Bible around here. It is not one of many. It is one of a kind. Now, I want you to notice something. The Bible says that God will pass judgment. He will consume. God's upset about those that are of false religion and those that, hey, those that tamper with the Word of God. I think that upsets God. I think it upsets God. Hey, let's stand for the old time way. Let's stand for the old King James Bible. God said He would punish the stumbling blocks. God said He would punish the false religious leaders of our day. You need to be watching what you watch on television, the religious things and all the stuff on the radio and all the books that you get from the so-called Christian bookstore. You ought to be checking up and making sure they're using the Word of God in there. Better make sure they're using the King James Bible in there. If not, you ought not be associating. You ought to step away from that. That'll get you into trouble. Thirdly, God says here in Zephaniah, God said He would punish the astrologers. It says here in Zephaniah 1:5, "And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops." It says, "And them that worship, that swear by the Lord and swear by Malcolm." Now, what it means here is when it talks about the host of heaven upon the housetops, that means these people were sitting on their housetops and they were looking at the stars. And they were making determinations about their life and their future based on the stars. Now, just so you know, we are not to worship the created. We are to worship the Creator. There are those that worship nature. And we more and more, hey, you know, we are what they call, we're going green in America. We're trying to clean up, and I'm for that. I'm for that. Hey, if we can clean up some pollution, I'm for that. If we can eat a little better, I'm for that. But I'm going to tell you something. America is going to start, if we're not careful, we're going to start worshiping the creation of God, but we will not worship the creator of that creation. Oh, I am for the stars, and I am for, hey, fresh air. But I'll tell you something. I'm not a tree hugger. I'm a Jesus hugger. Hey, save the whales. Hey, I'm for saving whales. And then we turn around and abort babies by the millions. You can go to jail for killing an animal that's an endangered species, and you can slaughter babies by the millions. Come on, America. Wake up. Wake up! When an owl is more important than a little baby, something's corrupt in our country. Here's talking about those that worship creation more than the Creator. They want the stars to guide their life. Well, let me tell you something. The only star that's going to guide my life is the bright morning star, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about those that get involved in the tarot cards and the palm readers and the fortune tellers, the psychics. I call them the psychopaths. Witchcraft and all that goes along with it. Harry Potter and the whole batch of them. You better be careful now. God said, I will punish. I will discipline. I will correct. Who? Those that sit on their housetops and look at the creation of God and they worship that rather than the God that created it. God said, I will punish. Who are these that God dogmatically and boldly said, I'm going to consume. I'm going to punish. Well, it's those that become stumbling blocks. Those that were the false prophets of the day. God said the astrologers. Number four, God said He would punish the two-faced hypocrites. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 5, it says, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. What? They swear by the Lord and then they swear by Malcolm. You know what? They're swearing out of both sides of their mouth. Malcolm, it's this M-A-L-C-H-A-M, Malcolm. That was a false god. The Bible says these people swear by the Lord on one side, then they swear by Malcolm on the other. Two-faced. Talking out of both sides of the mouth. Well, we just love everything. We love God, we love the devil. Everything is beautiful. Hey, I could be a star. In its own way. That kind of religion. That kind of religion that puts up with everything. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Comfortable at church, then comfortable at the casinos or the nightclubs. There's some of you sitting in here. You were somewhere you weren't supposed to be late last night, but you're in church this morning. You sang about Jesus this morning with a smile on your face while you tipped your martini last night. Everything is beautiful. Good God, good devil. Standing for nothing while standing for everything. That's your Hollywood religion crowd. Live like hell, then sing like heaven and get on national television. I just thank God that I've got this hit CD. It's all about drugs and sleeping with women I'm not married to. Thank God. Give God credit for evil success. The hypocrite adds a little religious seasoning to an evil pot of worldly soup. Malcolm, this M-A-L-C-H-A-M, that is actually the word or the god Molech. This was a false god of the Amorites. Here's what they did. Here's what was happening in this day, and I wish I had time to develop this thought for you. I won't. But here's what was happening in this day. These people were going out and they were actually sacrificing their babies to the god of Molech by fire. They were taking babies. Like, we could go back here. We could go up to Mrs. Brinklow's nursery. We could get a little baby between 0 and 6 months. We could bring that baby down here. We could turn this baptistry into an altar of fire and start a fire in there. And there are parents that would walk by and throw their little 3-month-old baby in the fire to be consumed. Then They would turn around same day and go down to an altar of Jehovah God and ask Him to forgive them, knowing what they were doing. Why? Afraid to take a stand. Afraid to say to Molech, you can go fly a kite, you false god. You could kill me, but I'm not backing off. I serve Jehovah God. I'm not giving my babies away. I'm not going to sacrifice my babies to any false god. But that's what they're doing. Same day that they burnt their own baby, they went down to God and said, oh, forgive me. You know what the Bible says? They would swear by the Lord and then swear by Malak. You know what we need in our day? We need some Christianity that gets in or gets out. Gets off, gets on, gets up, get down, get hot, get cold, but get something. Fifthly, God said He would punish the backslider. It says in Zephaniah 1:6, and them that are turned back from the Lord, they've turned back from the Lord. Now, the backslider suffers a little bit different punishment than the lost. See, let me tell you something. Some of you say, Brother Owens, lost people seem to be getting away with murder in the country. Not really. But you've got to understand something. The best the lost person is ever going to experience is in this life. Because if they don't get saved, they're going to hell someday. So you say, well, they're really getting away with things. I mean, look at everything they're getting away with. Don't you worry. Friday's a coming. Payday's a coming. If they don't get saved, they're going to suffer in hell for all eternity. Now, there's something different for you and I. When you and I get to heaven, heaven is going to be bliss. Heaven is going to be perfect. So you and I as Christians, when we get out of order with God, we suffer our punishment in this life because we don't suffer punishment in the next. Some of the lost people, they'll suffer in both. But the truth is, the best life they're ever going to have is this one. The worst life they're going to have is the next one. For saved people, the worst life you're ever going to have is this one. And the best one you're ever going to have is, I see a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. We're talking about just over in the glory land. But you have to understand something, folks. You and I, we will suffer our punishments in this life. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. The Bible tells us that in 1 Corinthians 11:31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What God is telling you and I, if you're born again and you're contrary with God and you're living in sin, quick, judge yourself. Quick, get right with God. Quick, look at yourself in the mirror and say, Jeff Owens, you're not right with God. There's sin in your life. Get on your face. Get it right with God. You say, what are we in a hurry for? God may be getting ready to chastise you. God may be getting ready to spank you. Because the Bible says if you're saved and you're one of God's kids, He'll spank you when you get out of order. And He's not trying to do something to you. He's trying to do something for you. God takes no pleasure in punishing the backslider. But the backslider, you know what you do? If you're a backslider, you're going to lose your joy. If you're a backslider, you're going to lose your power. You're going to lose your freedom. You're going to lose your influence. You take the story of Samson, he even lost some other things. He lost his sight. Samson, a man of God. Samson had great power with God. But because of lust and pride, Samson got backslidden. And as a result of it, Samson lost his power. He lost his freedom. He lost his influence. He lost his sight. And he lost his joy. But let me just warn you, as we read through the book of Zephaniah, God tucks in here, for those that are backslidden and away from God, God said, you better be careful now. I'm going to punish. I can punish. Sixthly, God said He would punish the indifferent. Zephaniah 1:6, it says, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for Him. Boy, does what we call the Christian nation called America need this? Hey, are you a church member, but you're indifferent? Are you saved, but indifferent? Do you have fire for God? Do you have conviction for God? Or is it you don't have any determination for God? You have no spiritual goals. You have no tears for the lost. You have no passion for souls. You have no prayer life. You have no hatred for worldliness. You're lukewarm in loving it. Lethargic about the things of God. You got a saved soul, but got a dead attitude toward God. Today, there are thousands of people at the shopping centers across America shopping right now who say they're saved. Some of you were there last week at this time. You just happened to stumble in church this week.
They're at Walmart right now. You could walk up to them by the hundreds. Say, if you die today, would you go to heaven? Oh, yeah, I'm born again. Well, where are you at on Sunday morning? I'm Walmart. There'll be people who stay home from church tonight and watch football. And to me, the stupidest thing the NFL's done in a million years is moving Monday night football to Sunday night. I consider that an attack on God. I could handle it on Monday night.
Yeah.
Moving it to Sunday night, there would have been a day in America it wouldn't have been allowed.
Right.
It wouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah, right.
What has happened to our respect for our God?
Good.
Are you indifferent about the things of the Lord? Are you spiritually stagnant? Are you spiritually in neutral? Number 7, God said He would punish the arrogant. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse number 8, it says, "And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes, the king's children, and all such that are clothed with strange apparel." What it's talking about here is the high and mighty, the big shots, fancy clothes but ugly hearts. The politicians who hurt God's cause. God said, that upsets me. You say, oh, the political world is full of corruption and filth, and look, they get away with it. What you mean is they get away with it right now. They will face their God someday. We're talking about professional people. Professional people who have no time or respect for God. The Bible here, it talks about clothed with strange apparel. It's talking about people that have fancy clothes, but they have poor hearts. They don't have a passion for God in their hearts. You know what we need in America? We need a revival of professional people that serve God. I'm talking about doctors and lawyers and CEOs and bankers and business owners. We need a revival of people that have experienced some success serving God. And I'm not talking about just going by the church to make their social call so they can pull in a little more business. Let's never let this church become a place where you just get all your business. This is where we do the business of God. This is where God comes to meet with us. They're all the religious socialites. There will be some successful people that won't come to this church because of things like I'm saying right now. This is God's house. This isn't a place to, where our main intent is to see how many people we can get to like us because we want them to come by and we want to make money off of them. Well, not at all. Not at all. But we need a revival of doctors and lawyers and professional people who, hey, look, they could use their influence for good in God. They could. But they don't. They dress well. They're fed well. They're social party goers and ignorers of God. Only bring Him up when they have to. I'll tell you what, one of the things that happens across the country, old-fashioned independent fundamental Baptist churches will have a big day, maybe have a brown breaking service or an anniversary Sunday. They'll offer some high position local politician to come by and greet the people. And I'm glad they do. I'm glad they do. I have no problem with the mayor or the governor or somebody like that coming by and greeting the people and congratulating the church. But you can always tell that those people don't go to church much. They get up and they try to dazzle everybody with their words as if they feel comfortable in the church. Then they call God good. Good. He's not good. He's God. Boy, they come off real religious, but you can just tell. All you got to listen is just for one sentence and you're thinking, they don't go to church. And if they do, it's not the right kind of a church. America needs people that have success to start serving God again. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." There are, hey, and let me tell you this, there are people, there are business owners, there are people with power who are successful, who love God and serve God. They're out there. But God said here, there's an abundance of them. Their power's gone to their head. They've forgotten who gave them their true success. And they're using their influence to build themselves and their business, but they're not using their influence to build God in the church. God said, that upsets me. I will punish. God said, number 8, God said He would punish the people who hurt others. Zephaniah 1:9, it says, "In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit." This is much like the arrogant, you know, the people that are well-dressed, but they're not right with God. People who will do anything to get ahead. You say to drug dealers, I used to drive through ghettos and I'd see somebody that lived in a ghetto house or a ghetto apartment with the fanciest car you've ever seen. They got all this gold dangling all from every part of their body, and you think, where in the world do they get the money? Off of hurting other people. Off of hurting other people. And God said, I'm not for that. I'm going to punish that. Those that sell booze and get their neighbors drunk, God said, I'll punish that. Taking advantage of the poor, the rich that care more about themselves than they do about the poor and God. And anyone who's out to hurt others, God said, I'll punish it. I'll punish it. Speaking of someone being hurt, listen to this. A telegram delivery man rings the bell to deliver his next telegram. An old woman answers and says, oh, goody, goody, a singing telegram. I've always wanted to get one of these. And the delivery man replies, I'm sorry, ma'am, but this is not a singing telegram. It's just a regular telegram. The woman obviously is disappointed and she sighs and says, couldn't you just sing it to me anyway? I'm 91 years of age and this may be my last chance to get a singing telegram. The delivery man says, no, ma'am, it's not the kind of telegram you sing. I don't sing very well anyway. The woman said, please, 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 mister, sing the telegram to me. I'm begging you. Finally, the man said, all right. And then to the tune of the bridal march, he got warmed up. Dum, dum, da, dum. He said, all right, here it is. Your sister Rose is dead. A brick has smashed her head. Oh. You know, we in America have become so self-consumed. What in America, what's happened to our kindness and our goodness? Why do we want to hurt people? Why would we launch out to hurt anybody? You know what America needs? America needs a revival of moms teaching their children not to hurt anybody. When I was very small, my mother said, we don't, I would go in and say, well, he hit me. And my mother would say, but that doesn't make it right for you to hit back. What's happened? What's happened to America? Why is there so much revenge and hatred in America? God said, those that fill their houses with violence, God said, I'll judge that. God said he would punish, I like this, I call them the neutral thinking people. Listen to this. Zephaniah 1:12, it says, and it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees. They say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. It says here they are settled on their lees. We could call this the amoral crowd, the wishy-washy, the ones who do not believe that God is a God of judgment. You've heard it said, if God does not judge America for her sodomy, God will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. They're those that are just the lovey-dovey. God would never pass judgment. I'm very sorry. I must introduce to you today the champion of the universe. And that champion said, there are times when you will push me too far and I will punish you. You say, but God's a God of love. Yes, indeed he is. And I love my children. But there were times when I spanked my children to keep them from hurting themselves further. And it was an act of mercy, not of madness. And God comes to America and God loves America and God says to America, you better wake up, America. God comes to churches and said, you better wake up. You better watch out being lovey-dovey about everything. You know, love Jesus, love God, love the devil, and love evil. You better be careful. And that's exactly what this says. The Bible says that these men that are settled on their lees, listen to this, they say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. What a misrepresentation of what God is. What a misconception. Just because God loves does not mean that God is going to let you get away with everything under the sun. That does not give you the liberty to live any way you want and act any way you want and dress any way you want, go anywhere you want and do anything you want. That is not what God had in mind. That's not what God intended. The amoral, the wishy-washy, those who don't believe God will judge, those that wouldn't believe a sermon like this one. You believe you can continue in your sin and it's okay. It doesn't matter. You say, I'm saved and I've been living wrong and God's not punished me yet. Well, I'm glad you finished the sentence with the word yet. Yet, your sin has blinded you to the coming punishment. That's exactly what this whole sermon is about. There had been a revival in a life, but the people had gotten away from God and some had never even trusted Christ. And God came along through the prophet Zephaniah and said, wake them up, Zephaniah. Tell them punishment is on the horizon. But there were some that said, don't believe it. Don't believe in this kind of preaching in this day. We're living in New Testament Christianity and there is no punishment for sin. Well, you better just look in the book of Revelation to find out if there's any punishment for sin in New Testament Christianity. Oh, indeed there is. People still will die and go to hell in New Testament Christianity. God still chastens His own. There are the lost that believe they can reject salvation and they won't go to hell. You know, there are people that say, oh, if God is a loving God, He wouldn't send anybody to hell. Listen, if you've heard the gospel and you don't get saved, God's not the one sending you to hell. You're sending yourself. May I say, today, in this service, I've tried to do my part. I'm sure that the prophet Zephaniah, when God came to him and God said, here's what I want you to say. I want you to start out by saying, I'm going to consume. I'm going to destroy. I'm going to punish. I'm sure Zephaniah said, oh, brother, I hate preaching these sermons. Wow. Do you want me to get up and tell everybody that? God said, yes, sir. That's what I need. What do you want me to say? God said, I want you to say to them, you go to them and you say to them, the stumbling blocks that continue in their way, they're going to be punished. He said, you go to them and you speak aloud about the false prophets and all the false religion and the false Bibles of the day. He said, you go to them and you tell them all this modern day astrology and all this worshiping the created more than the creator and all the witchcraft and everything that goes along with it. You tell them, you say, your God is a holy God and He's not for that. He said, you go to them and you tell them that are two-faced and hypocrites. Those that talk out of both sides of their mouth. Those that live one way on Sunday, but another way 6 days a week. You tell them, I'm against that. God said, Zephaniah, you make sure that you tell them, we're going to punish the backslider. They're going to have to be disciplined in this life because the next life will be bliss. They will have to face the error of their way. You tell them that we're going to punish the indifferent, those that are in neutral spiritually, neither hot or cold. God said, you let it be known, Zephaniah, that people who are arrogant, the princes, the kings, and those that have their fancy dress and fancy houses, they've got all their fancy degrees and everything that goes along with it, they're to serve the same God the poor are supposed to serve. They're to use their influence for God just like everybody else. He said, you go tell them those that spend their life hurting others, they're not getting away with it. And Zephaniah did what God said he had to. It's what God said. I say to you, I don't like preaching sermons like this. But Zephaniah was to sound the alarm. Please know, folks, that God is patient. But that does not mean that He is pleased with our sin. Realize God's kindness does not eliminate the possibility of wrath. God does show mercy, but I'd recommend you just not make Him mad. And I'm not talking about a madness, an emotional fit like you throw. I'm talking about a mad where God says, I planned it. You're going to step across the line that is a perfect line drawn by a perfect God in perfect timing. And the wrath of God comes. If you're here today and somehow this sermon applies to you, I pray that you'll be careful because God is still a God of wrath and God can still punish us. You say, you're giving me an impression of God that there comes a point when He gets angry. The Bible teaches that. Indeed, the Bible teaches that. I serve God because He loves me. I serve God because He's so patient and kind and good to me. I'll tell you something, Brother Gieman, I also fear Him. I've watched what God can do. I could give you story after story from the Bible when people crossed the line with God. They paid for it. Now, it's not your job or my job to figure out who in our society and in this day is paying for stepping across the line. It's our job to take care of our own line. Our own line. But why don't we all listen to the Old Testament prophet of Zephaniah? When he comes and says, there's some things where God uses the terminology, I will consume you for that. I will consume you. I will punish you. Let's make it so that we do right by God. You know something? I believe there's somebody here today. You've been doing wrong. Maybe nobody knows it but you. You're not right with God. And I believe that God brought somebody here today and in His mercy and grace wanted you to hear this sermon. Because tomorrow is the day that that line has been drawn. Tomorrow God will punish if you don't get right today. You say, who is it? I don't know. Maybe many somebodies. Might just be you. But God has been merciful to bring you here today to let you hear a sermon on the Old Testament and the New Testament doctrine of the chastisement of the God who loves His people. It may be if you're here today and you're not saved. It may be God brought you here today so you get saved because tomorrow's the day of your death. And if you die without Christ, you'll die and go to hell. And that's what they call old-fashioned hellfire brimstone preaching. And it's still in the Bible. There's still a hell. Still a hell. So if you're here and you're a Christian and away from God, it might be the punishment of God is planned for tomorrow. But God would show mercy on you if you took care of it today. You know what you need to take care of. Or is it possible that you're lost and on your way to hell? You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe tomorrow is the day of your death. Maybe God brought you here to get saved today. Zephaniah preached an identical message to the people of his day. Let's hope that we'll listen as they listened in that day. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. May I ask a personal question? If you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? If you cannot answer yes to that, if you cannot answer to the affirmative that you're on your way to heaven and that you're saved, you need to get born again. Who here would say, preacher, I'm not saved? If I died today, I do not know for a fact I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And let me make something very clear to you. Once you're saved, you're always saved. If you've trusted Christ someday, you're still saved. But there are some, you've never done it. There's some here that didn't realize. You don't get saved by joining a church. And you don't get saved by doing good. And you don't get saved by being baptized. No. You get saved by realizing you're a sinner. And Jesus is the perfect Savior. You must admit your sin to Him and you must ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and be your Savior. That's how you get saved. It's not through some religious exercise. It's by His mercy, His grace. It's a free gift that you receive. Is there anybody here that would say, preacher, I've never trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. If I died today, I do not know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I need to be born again. Pray for me. Maybe tomorrow is the day of my death, so I'm going to get saved today. That's me. And you'll raise your hand and say, I need to be saved. I see a hand. Somebody else will say, I need to be born again. I see another hand. You say, I need to be saved. I'm not saved. If I died today, I don't know for sure that I'd go to heaven. I need to get it cared for. God bless you, sir. Who else? You say, that's me. I've seen hands. I've seen three hands raised. Who else? I see another. God bless you, sir, in the balcony. Who else? You say, I'm not saved. You say, you're trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to give you reality. Wonder if tomorrow's the day of that punishment. That means you need to get saved now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Who else will say, I'm not sure. I'm not saved. I need to be born again. I've seen five or six hands who would join these and say, I'm not born again. I need to be saved. I've seen hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Listen to this. What Christian here today, and I do not say this to embarrass you, but I do say this, that you be honest with yourself and with God. Who here would say today, God, I'm not where I need to be for you. I'm not what I ought to be. There's something in my life that should not be there, and I need to get it right. Remember, God punishes it. God will spank a born-again Christian. Somebody here needs a spanking from God. Maybe you need to get it right before the discipline comes. what Christian here today would say, I'm saved, but there's some things that need to get changed. And God spoke into my heart today, and with God's help, I'm going to work on it. And you'll raise your hand. There are hands up all over the auditorium. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hands, probably 100 hands or more. God bless you. If you need this altar, you may put your hands down. If you need this altar, don't be afraid to use it. You can slip down and you can find a place to kneel. We're not trying to embarrass you. Somebody here needs to rededicate their life. Why don't you do so? If you're here and you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you ought to get it cared for. We're going to have an old-fashioned altar call for those that raised their hands and said, I'm not saved. Here's what's going to happen in a moment. The instrumentalists will begin to play. The congregation will stand. The choir will sing. The men that are standing on the platform will stand down front near the altar. If you're not saved, leave your seat. Walk toward the front. Walk up to one of the men and say, I need to be born again. We'll take a Bible very, very simply, very quickly, and show you how to be born again so you can leave this place on your way to heaven. If you're a Christian and you're away from God, would you come use the altar for a moment? God does punish. I'm going to ask the instrumentalist to begin to play at this time.